When was the last time that you had a holiday? Yeah. Some of you recent, some of you, oh, when was the last time I had a holiday? Where did you go? How was it? For those of us who work, and even for those of us who don't, a holiday can seem like a tranquil oasis of escape from our busy lives of working 9 to 5. Receiving countless emails, sitting in traffic as we commute to and from the workplace. Sometimes work is a calling, isn't it? But many times we find ourselves working just because we need to pay the bills, to keep a roof over our heads, some food on the table. And then for a precious week or two, we go on holiday and we recuperate as we tour art galleries, we eat too many cream teas, or we relax on the beach. Once we finally got away, that is. Because first there might be more stress to battle, the holiday traffic on the M5 and the A30, the trials of the airport check-in desk, the strikes at the ferry terminal. In our postmodern Western society, we seem to have got the wrong end of the stick somewhere, I think, when it comes to work and holidays. We seem to work until we need or we can afford to have a holiday. And then we collapse in a hammock for a fortnight, completely divorced from our usual lives, and then we return home and the cycle starts again. And somehow we know it's not meant to be like this, even if we've managed the holiday of a lifetime, maybe Disneyland or a safari. There is, I think, a reason that the feeling of working for a holiday doesn't sit right with us. And I think it's because the order is wrong, and that the order of work in order to holiday is not a concept that is God-given. So what do we replace it with? Today I want to suggest to you that an alternative, healthy and wise approach is the concept of rest and service. We don't work to have a holiday. We rest in order that we may serve. If you've got a Bible with you, the passage that I'm going to be referring to, you know, throughout this talk, I'm going to jump around a lot, but if there's one that you want to keep open, then Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 31. And the passages as we go through will be on the screen. If you try and keep up, then you'll, you know, get very sore fingers, I think. But Mark chapter 6 and verse 30 to 31 says this. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." We're looking at Proverbs as well at the moment in this series we're calling Lifecraft from God. And when we look at Proverbs, at first glance, there doesn't seem to be very much in Proverbs about rest. But looking deeper, it is there. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5 say this, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven." There is a clear plea not to work ourselves to the bone, because we will always spend what we earn, and the cycle will begin again. But Proverbs also teaches us that there is a balance to be struck somewhere, because the writer of Proverbs says in chapter 24, verses 30 to 34, "I passed by the field of a sluggard." I love that word, sluggard. "I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. And then I saw it and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Isn't that encouraging? So does this imply that rest is bad? Because the moment we stop working, we're heading for poverty, and we should keep working even when we're tired. No. Rest is very good and necessary even. It is the purpose of the rest that is important. I want to spend a few minutes today having a look at Jesus' invitation that we just read to come and rest a while, and then looking at it with a little bit of help from Proverbs to see what rest might look like from a biblical perspective. You see, we all need time to rest. And this is illustrated and established right at the very beginning of creation, when God rested on the seventh day, as you can read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 31. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he'd done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. I think if you say the same thing about four times in the same sentence, then you know, the point starts to get through. The principle of rest then served as the basis for the Sabbath day, which was later commanded of the Israelites as a weekly observance, as one of the Ten Commandments that can read in Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy verse 5, chapter 5 from verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, any of your animals, any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It's clear from very, very early on in the Bible that God approved of and valued rest. He rested himself on the seventh day after creation. But it's also clear that he knew it was so important for mankind to take time to rest on a regular basis, and also that it was so likely to be overlooked that he mandated it in the Old Testament laws. And he went further. He mandated a whole host of other holidays, which, if you want, you can read about later in Leviticus chapter 23. For example, there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which came with 2 days of additional rest. The Feast of the Harvest, or Pentecost, with 1 day of rest. The Feast of Trumpets, 1 day of rest. The Day of Atonement, 1 day of rest. The Feast of Tabernacles, 2 days of rest. Included with several of the above were required trips to Jerusalem, 7 days feasts, and in one case, a week of living in tents. These were in addition to the weekly Sabbaths. So in total, I'm informed by my commentary that there are approximately 70 days each year where no customary work was to be done. Days of rest. Now, this is the Old Testament and the Jewish calendar, but Paul writes for us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, whatever things were written before, the Old Testament, were written for our learning. So it's still there. It's still important for us to hold on to. God created mankind with an inbuilt need for rest. So we need to rest for our physical, our mental, and our spiritual health. But as I said earlier, there's a balance to be struck somewhere between not enough rest and not enough work. But there's a story that goes something like this. One man challenged another to an all-day wood-chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several other breaks during the day. But at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and somewhat annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. "I don't get it," he said. "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest. Yet you chopped more wood than I did." "But you didn't notice," said the winning woodsman, "that when I sat down, I was sharpening my axe." One helpful way to start to think about it is this. Biblical rest is not about not doing anything. Biblical rest is about consciously choosing not to work and replacing that time with something restorative. Let me say that again. Biblical rest is not about not doing anything. Rest is about consciously choosing not to work and replacing that time with something restorative. Resting is an active process. It's part of the program. Let me give you some other examples. Think about the triathlete training for competition. He or she will build rest days into their training schedule for their body to recover from the rigors of cycling, swimming, and running. The rest days are important because it allows the body to recover, to prepare for the next long run or pool session. It's not doing nothing. It's deliberately resting. Or consider the way that music is written and arranged, especially classical music. It has rhythm and it has melody, yes, and the notes that are played are important, but actually equally important are the times when the notes are not played. The rests. Not all of the instruments in the orchestra play all of the time, and the times of rest add to the texture and the phrasing of the piece of music. For example, when the string instruments are playing and the horns, trumpets, and trombones are resting. The rest in the music allows the phrasing of the melody to take shape, and like punctuation in a sentence or the emphasis of a point, the impact of the brass section when they rejoin the piece of music is all the more obvious because they have rested. And in resting, they have not been doing nothing. They have been counting the beat in the silence and followed the conductor so they know when to rejoin the rest of the orchestra. What is not played, the time of rest, is just as important as the notes that are. For followers of Jesus, biblical rest is active. We rest in order that we may continue serving God in an impactful way and rest to prepare ourselves for the task that is ahead of us. There is a whole world of difference between spending time resting ahead of planned activity and collapsing in a heap after the task is done. There is a world of difference between resting in order to serve and working to have a holiday. So what does practical biblical rest look like, and what's it got to do with Proverbs? Well, there are two types of rest that are important. There's physical and there's spiritual. Physical rest, to refresh the body. It may take the form of a good night's sleep or a holiday. I said holiday. The latter may involve travel, it may involve meeting with friends or making planned cultural visits or going to sporting events or concerts. In some ways, these are like the Old Testament feasts from Leviticus. And through resting, we prepare ourselves for the next period of service and hopefully also enjoy added benefits like reduced stress and improved memory performance and just general all-round good health. In the passage that we started with, Jesus' invitation is partly to this kind of rest, to get away from the hustle and bustle and chill out for a while. But secondly, there is spiritual rest, to refresh the spirit. And this is the other rest that I think Jesus is inviting us to just spend time with him. Spending deliberate and conscious time in things like a daily devotional period, choosing to meditate on God's word, praying, asking him to speak to us. The benefits here include a closer walk with God, inner renewal and peace of mind as we put things into perspective through talking through them with him. Proverbs, while warning against the dangers of too much rest, is full of the benefits of spending time with God and the promises of what will happen when we do. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 28, verse 5. Evildoers don't understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Both the body and spirit need periods of rest, and it's through these times of rest that God teaches us important lessons and prepares us for the service ahead. As a family, we first came along to Leeds Vineyard in September 2006. We arrived tired and in desperate need of rest. And that's what we found here. This community of faith provided a safe place to be. We grew to be part of the community as God rested us here. But he rested us for a purpose. It was not a holiday camp, but it was a preparation for the roles that he held for us in the future. In children's ministry, serving with the cafe team, playing in the worship band, leading a house group and a marriage course, overseeing clusters of house groups, working alongside Gwen as a befriender for Christians Against Poverty, preaching occasionally on a Sunday morning, and serving for a time as part of the leadership group. It all sounds quite tiring listing it all, but in truth, much of it wasn't, because all of that service came out of and was sustained by planned periods of rest. And over the last few months, as a family, our time in Leeds has drawn to a close, God has again given us the opportunity to rest as one by one we've withdrawn from various of these roles. And we have consistently seen ourselves being replaced by more gifted people. So how do we find rest? Well, firstly, we need to know that it's promised, so we don't have to do much looking. Jesus promises, come to me and I will give you rest. But even that reminds us that it's an active process, and that involves making the conscious decision to go to him. Practically speaking, we may need to consciously block out some time in the week, both for festivals of physical rest, and spiritually, we need to consciously identify times and places to spend time with Jesus, to find places that allow for privacy and times when we will not be interrupted in our schedule. And you know what? There are not necessarily any right answers for where and when that is. But for us to be effective as we might wish to be, it's important that they're found. So taking some examples from the Bible, Isaac in the book of Genesis, he liked the evening in the field. King David and Daniel, again in the Old Testament, they liked both morning, noon and evening in their bed or in their room, respectively. Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it said he liked the early morning in deserted places. But note with me as well that all of those Old Testament weekly and annual rests included times of celebratory rest with others, on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, perhaps. And that's one of the purposes of weekly worship, to rest together in the presence of God. You know, there's an old poem that I remember hearing for the first time some 25 years ago, and it's probably much older. And it's one of these poems that much of the wisdom is unfortunately probably lost now, because it's most likely to be found embroidered on a tea towel in a cheesy gift shop. But it does have a huge amount of truth in it, so I'm going to read it to you. It goes like this. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled around me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on grey and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "But you didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. No man can work without rest, and none of us who professes to be a follower of Jesus can follow him effectively for long unless we choose to spend time resting with him. How can we shoulder all of life's burdens if we have no contact with him who is the Lord giver of all good things? We can't. How can we do God's work unless it's in God's strength? We can't. How can we receive that strength unless we seek it in quietness and stillness, seeking the presence of God? Of course, even here, there is a danger that we can rest too much, and too much inactivity is unhealthy, however we might like to dress it up. See, the triathlete who spends all this time resting will probably drown the next time they attempt the open water swim. But more seriously, is devotion that does not result in action real devotion? Is prayer that does not spur us on to action real prayer? See, the goal of resting with Jesus through prayer and worship and reading his word is not to avoid meeting with people, but to prepare ourselves better for when we do. We rest spiritually and physically in order that when we serve, we can do so wholeheartedly and to the best of our ability, and in a way led by God, because we've spent time with him and we know what's on his heart. The life craft of following Jesus through rest and service is the alternate rhythm of meeting with God, both in the secret place and in corporate worship, and then serving him as we're led in the workplace or in the community. It's service out of rest. It's not the holiday after working ourselves to the bone. The life we have as followers of Jesus is more akin to a marathon than to a sprint. We have to have endurance so that we can complete the race. Just as physical strength requires both exercise and rest, it's the same with faith. The endurance built up through the times of rest and then the times of service. We need both so that we can maintain the proper balance and avoid being physically or mentally and spiritually burned out. We need periods of activity, times of what Robbie Dawkins would call doing the stuff. And we can be thankful that in the wisdom and provision of God, there is the opportunity for both. So let's take up the invitation that I believe Jesus is offering us this morning. Let's go off by ourselves with him to a quiet place and rest a while. Rest a while so that we'll be ready to serve him. I think that is the invitation we have from Jesus this morning. Let's rest a while. So we've got about 5 minutes or so before the kids, you know, and things. I'm going to invite Ben up in a minute, and we'll do some ministry time in a few minutes. But let's spend this next few minutes just in silence, resting with him. There's nothing magical about silence, there's nothing to be concerned about. It might feel awkward if it's something that you're not used to, but just let it happen. Let's have a couple of minutes of silence, spending time with him. Just ask Jesus what's on your heart. There are a couple of groups of people that I think God definitely wants us to pray for. I think there are some people here who always hear this sort of message, and the first thing that the devil does is he pokes you and says, "You don't pray enough." Makes you feel guilty about it. And we'd like to pray for you that you don't have that weight on you. This is an invitation. Jesus delights to spend time with you. His first question when you come back is, where have you been? His first thing is, tell me what's on your heart. Let's spend some time together. Let's catch up. So I want to pray in a moment for you guys. And then I want to pray as well for, I think there are some people here who feel rested. And you feel like it's time to get back in the game and it's time to do some serving. And I want to pray that God will show you what he has for you and provide you the opportunities to get going. So God, our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the certainty of the truth in the invitation of come to me and I will give you rest. Father, thank you that there are no ifs, buts, or maybes. Father, I pray that for everyone here, you would make it really easy this week for us to find the time and to come and meet with you. Father, I pray that you would fill us up with your Spirit, that we would be rested with you. And Father, for those of us who are rested, I pray that you would show where the next area of service is, Father. Would you, identify the need? Would you, make it so obvious to us where you would have us be and what you would have us do? Father, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us all good things. Come, Holy Spirit.